Welcome to the 90th running of the Indianapolis 500. I'm Pat Sullivan with another IndyCast. Well, the sound in the background indicates that it's a busy day at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And, of course, over the years, the sounds made on this two-and-a-half oval were decidedly different. Few men understand the sport of auto racing more than John Cooper. He's a former president of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway and Daytona. His odyssey began at the concession stand in the infield of a small midget track in his native state of Iowa. We had an opportunity to meet up with Mr. Cooper, reminisce about the past, and talk about the future of auto racing. We're with John Cooper, former president of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and we're actually here under the pagoda and timing area, and this place looks a lot different, doesn't it, Mr. Cooper?
Pat, it really does. Tony George and his team have done a lot here in the last 8 or 10 years, and the place is spotless. It looks really great.
We were just chatting about the first time you met A.J. Foyt in Shreveport, Louisiana. You began your career selling Coca-Cola and refreshments at an infield at a midget track in Iowa. Tell us about that.
That's right, but it was Pepsi-Cola, for the record. Yeah, it was a midget track in my hometown of Cedar Rapids, Iowa. They raced Sunday nights there, as they still do up in Sun Prairie, Wisconsin. Kind of the same thing, though. The track in Cedar Rapids is long gone. I wanted a summer job out there, and the track owner said, well, about all I'd have is something if you want to work in one of my pop stands, he called them. And I said, well, I'd like to do that if it's the one in the infield. Right away, he knew that's where the pits were. And so that was 1948, and that was my first job.
Beyond that, then, when did you get your next position in racing? Obviously, you've been an announcer. You've obviously been a president. How did that all evolve?
Slowly. But I hate to say it sounds corny, but I would do anything as long as it was a little bit more than what I had been doing. And I always believed that if whatever was thrown your way, if you did a reasonably good job, another one would come along, and it always did.
You told me a great line one time. You spent a lot of time around the IMCA and said that you asked Al Sweeney one time, the great promoter, why do people come to these events? And his answer, do you remember?
He said, all racing events exist in the reflected glory of Indianapolis and the 500-mile race. Al spoke in those kind of terms. He was a wonderful guy, and he believed that.
Racing was born a lot of the fairgrounds and was certainly the backbone of this place.
Well, up until the mid-60s, most racing in this country was in one way or another connected to a fairgrounds. And now it still is. In my native Iowa, there are 99 counties, and when I was a kid, 80 of them had a racetrack. 80. There were 80 racetracks.
You first became the president here what year?
1979.
How did that come about?
Well, that came about because, really, Tony Holman died in 1978, and his family wanted somebody to come in here and be responsible for the track to them. And I had known them fairly well over the years. Mary, now Mary George, and I are... She won't like this, but we're the same age. And so I did, and I was here until 82. I was here 4 years.
What was your position previous to that?
Well, I had been with NASCAR, and I had an opportunity to kind of get out of racing, or at least add to it. Coca-Cola offered me a big job in charge of their sports sponsorships around the world, and I couldn't say no to that. And it did get me away from racing a little bit. And then, as part of the death of Tony Holman, he also had the Coca-Cola bottling franchise here in Indianapolis. The Coca-Cola company asked me to come up here and speak to the Holman family about did they want to keep it, did they want to sell it, and so on. And that's what led to our talking about the Speedway.
I would assume that your relationship, at least with Mary George, went back to your early involvement with USAC.
Before that. I think we became friends in 1952, and she had the Howe Offie, her sprint car, which was an interesting car. It was one of the few Curtis sprint cars ever built, and it was a good car, and she traveled the Midwest with her mother, and Eddie Sachs was their best-known driver, though they had a lot of drivers over the years.
I saw a picture of you recently standing in front of what was the health department at one point, the site of the very first meeting to form the United States Auto Club. Were you at that meeting?
I was at that meeting, and somebody earlier today said they saw the picture. I believe I'm standing there with Bill Marvel. He and I, to my knowledge, are the only people that I know for sure were at that meeting that are living. I hate to say that, but that was a long time ago. That was the summer of 55 in early August, as I remember. 3A announced they were getting out of the race sanctioning business, and the United States Auto Club was formed. And that picture wasn't taken that day. It was taken the other day, a photographer working on that book, 50 Years of USAC. He asked us to go down there. We had our picture taken.
In terms of the Speedway, in terms of all the changes in technology, the drivers, what's the same? What's different?
Well, almost everything's different. What the same is, it's 2.5 miles around here. It's 200 laps. And hopefully, and I believe there will be 33 starters. As you know, it's been tight in recent years. Let's talk about that for a minute. Whether there's 33 or 31 starters, I think that this coming race later this month is going to be absolutely tremendous. I believe the first 12 cars are going to be so evenly matched that it could be a classic. Now, as you know, the way yellow flags fall on one thing and another can change the complexion of a race. But I think there'll be 12 front-running cars that'll have trouble getting away from each other.
Interestingly enough, the gentleman you know, Ted Hollingsworth, who's been around racing for many, many years, made an observation a couple of years ago that we tend sometimes forget. And he said, all these cars are running at the end of the race. In other words, the reliability has been unbelievable.
That's right. There used to be 14, 15 cars running at the end of this race, and some of them many laps down. That's gone away.
The drivers, they're the same or are they different?
Oh, they come from a much more varied background than they used to. And that began to happen when Jimmy Clark and Graham Hill came over here, and Chris Amon, and a lot of Europeans who were essentially road racers, and they adapted very well to the Speedway, Jackie Stewart. And that opened the eyes of some owners here, car owners here, that, wait a minute, there are some pretty good U.S. road racers like a Dan Gurney and so on. Maybe we ought to try them at the Speedway. And that is when it kind of broadened out. Up until then, from the end of World War II until about 1960, it was almost exclusively midget drivers, mostly from California.
You know, it's interesting. I think that racing is a sport in which the people who are successful have passion for it. And what's interesting to me is you still have that. We can still find you in an Anderson or Sun Prairie. So you came to this position as a fan.
Yeah, that's right. I'll carry it further, Pat. I can't think all these years, this will be my 57th Indy 500, I can't think of anybody in any form of this motorsports that's been successful that didn't have passion or at least a burning desire to be part of the sport. It's not something you can just kind of say, yeah, I might work there. That doesn't get it.
You're a great observer, so I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you have a favorite for this race?
A personal favorite or a guy I think who's going to win the race?
Guy you think is going to win.
Well, I'd have to say the favorite going in is Sam Hornish. The second favorite is probably Castroneves because of the Penske cars. There is just no question. On that last pit stop on race day, they will be running no worse than first and third, let's say. And I would think it's Hornish's year. But look, anything could go on in this race. I do think it'll be somebody come out of the first two or three rows.
That's always generally been the case. And the captain makes those calls, can't he?
Yeah, that's true.
Well, John Cooper, the former president of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.